Hey, it's the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Luke Burbank.
I'm Allison Stewart.
You know, Allie, I shot upright last night in bed.
Oh, no.
I had a thought. I was rethinking an entire concept, an entire foundation for a big segment in the show, which we call The Ramble. We're going to do that in a minute. We call it The News You Can't Use. But, you know, if you go to the water cooler, I don't know if you have a water cooler
right.
at your work, or if you email your friend, you are using this news.
Yep, you're hanging out, you're talking, you've
it's
got some good
stuff.
Story, so maybe, you know, maybe
I mean,
you're right.
I don't know. Let's talk about it in the meeting afterwards. This is the little odds and ends of the news that you may not have heard about, and we think we're going to get your interest with it. We call it The Ramble.
Our first story I found in the Salt Lake Tribune because we love you, KCPW.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we
Fight
do.
Fight the power.
This is about a rhino hunter. Apparently, Brigham University.
Brigham Young University.
Excuse me, thank you. Brigham Young University Museum has hired this man who is a hunter and a conservationist, he says. And he went out and he shot this white rhino on safari in Africa.
Is that even legal?
So that the museum could mount and display its hide. Well, apparently, the Bean Life Science Museum says they're confident that the regulated killing and export of rare African animals poses no threat to the species. But as the Salt Lake Tribune points out in this one paragraph, the exhibit highlights an ironic situation in which rare wildlife is killed for the sake of educating the public about endangered species and raising money for their conservation.
Isn't it ironic?
Yes.
Easy, Alanis.
I'm caught in that loop somewhere about whether this is good or bad. So.
Yeah. All right. And by the way, have we mentioned we love Salt Lake City?
We love it. So it's my birthplace.
Oh,
I was born
really?
There.
Excellent.
All
Shout
right,
out
we
to Salt
won't
Lake.
Hold that against it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Still a great town. speaking of the hunting beat, there's a guy in Texas, a 54-year-old fellow, who is on trial for animal cruelty after he admitted to shooting a feral cat. Here's the twist, though. He says the cat was stalking endangered shorebirds, birds called piping plovers. He also is a bird enthusiast. He runs the Galveston Ornithological Society. He leads a birdwatching tour on an island off the Gulf Coast there in Texas. And he really did not like this cat. He also, this guy, has admitted to killing other cats on his own property where he runs a bed and breakfast for other birdwatchers. But it's just not a sort of clear-cut case of
yeah.
a guy who's being mean to yep. animals. He says he's saving one kind of animal by killing a different kind of animal. And interestingly, the crucial point in this case, or a crucial point, seems to be whether the cat was feral or not, if it was, you know, just this wandering sort of stray, or if it had a name. And turns out a local toll collector who worked by the bridge that this cat lived under had named the cat. The cat was named Mama Cat. So that may be a key
part
piece
of
the case.
And also the piping plover.
Yeah.
I can't wait to call somebody that. You are such a piping plover. I can't believe it.
That's great.
I think you just did.
Rachel, you're next.
Okay, I've got this really interesting story, actually. Pretty controversial. You guys remember when Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks in 2003 made her big controversial statement about President Bush during her concert?
Right.
There was a big brouhaha. People said she was anti-patriotic. Well, there's something akin to that going on right now, except in the wide world of bridge. Very controversial, the world of bridge. We don't mean bridges like in Madison County, but like the
okay.
game bridge.
Oh, right,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, just checking. Thank so you. There's this team of women bridge players in China in this tournament, and after they won, they're Americans, and when they won, one of them stood up on the platform with a little sign that said, "We didn't vote for Bush." Apparently that did not go over well with the bridge aficionados, who said, "It's not cool to do that. That breaks the Bridge Federation rules. They're being accused of treason and sedition, and there's going to be a big hearing to figure out what to do with them. They're thinking about suspending them for a year, and they want them to write out an apology saying, whose idea was this?" I mean,
was this third grade or
I
the
know.
Bridge Championship?
It's very controversial.
Wow. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Another controversial story comes to us from Amsterdam. Everybody read The Diary of Anne Frank at some point during your educational experience. And there was this one chestnut tree that she wrote about that gave her hope and her family hope when they were hiding from the Nazis in the secret annex of the staircase in this little canal house in Amsterdam. Well, that chestnut tree will be cut down next week because the city officials say it's too diseased to be saved.
Mm.
I know. Isn't that really sad?
Have you guys been to that house?
Okay, here's a spooky story. Do we have time? I was in Amsterdam for the first time, and I decided to read the Diary of Anne Frank while I was there, and my hotel was right around the corner from the Anne Frank house, and as I was reading about the bell in the church she heard toll, it tolled. Isn't that amazing?
That's a sad story about the tree.
It is a sad story. It's an important book to read, though.
I just don't think we should ever do any reading about meat products before they're just sitting on your plate, because it's almost always...
Or we should just make Dan do them all the time.
It's almost always disturbing, whatever it is. And here's one that I don't know really what to make of it. It turns out that when you see, you know, a meat hanging in the butcher shop or the Safeway or whatever, that red color of uncooked meat, of uncooked red meat, it's not really natural. It wouldn't naturally be that color. The idea apparently is that they pump it full of, not full of, but they use carbon monoxide to have it keep that sort of reddish look. At Hormel and Cargill, these two big meat packers, they do that to sort of, they say it's a non-toxic level of carbon monoxide. But anyway, yesterday on Capitol Hill, there was, you know, some rival meat packers and consumer groups that said this is unhealthy. You should not be using carbon monoxide to keep that steak looking red. The thing, though, is those companies that were saying you shouldn't, you know, use that carbon monoxide, they have their own process. They wash their meat in a special rosemary bath that keeps it looking red.
All together sounds nicer.
Rosemary carbon monoxide.
Well, the Hormel and Cargill would say, of course these guys want to make that the industry standard because that's how they're already doing it. Frankly, I just choose to never, ever read any story again that
starts
with the backstory of a steak because it's pretty gross always. That is The Ramble.
It was news you could use today.
Yeah, yeah, mostly. You can find these stories and others at our website, which is npr.org/Bryant Park.